Blog Talk Radio.
Reverend Edward Pinckney, the only pastor in the history of mankind to ever be sent to prison for quoting the Bible. I'm here to tell you that we're having a tremendous week here. We've been doing some of the things that people should be doing around the country. We have stood tall against Whirlpool. We call them a bloodsucker. We call them, I'm also referring to Harbor Shores, we call them the evil twins. And what they have done, they have came in and stole land from the city of Benton Harbor, the residents of Benton Harbor. They have came in and did some of these things that normally you go to prison for. But by them being connected with the governor, and here's something else that people don't understand. Government and these corporations, these greedy corporations, have merged. Somebody said they have emerged a long time ago. I'm inclined to believe that. But I'm here to tell you that we're here to fight. We're here to stand up against them. We're here to do some of the things that need to be done. We're here to make sure that things happen the way things should happen. And I'm happy today. I'm happy today. But I'm here to tell you that we're going to take this thing to a whole different level. And we're going to need your help. We're going to take this thing to a whole different level. And I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for this opportunity just to be here today. And I tell you, we're here. Done. But I'm happy. I'm happy today. But I must tell you this. I'm having a little issue with my switchboard. So just bear with me, and I think I'm going to be all right. We got some things that we need to do, but hang in there, and I'll keep talking until we get this baby right. So we're going to do the things we do, and I got to bring on Larry Pinckney shortly, but we got to do this thing the way it's supposed to be done. So everybody just hang in there. Have faith in the system itself. I know that they don't want to hear us talking because we got news for the people. We got things to talk about. We got things to say. And we're taking this thing to a whole different level. That's the most important thing. People have to understand that there are people in this world who are willing to take a stand, willing to take a stand up against the evil wickedness of a whirlpool. And that's my job, I tell you. But I'm happy today, and I want people to know that we're having a mass demonstration in the city of Benton Harbor. That's right. We're having a mass demonstration in the city of Benton Harbor, and it's scheduled for August the 10th, 2010, at 10 a.m. I repeat, we're having a mass demonstration in the city of Benton Harbor, 2010, at 10 a.m. And I want people to come. I want them to come, and I want you to come and show up and show out. I tell you, I'm excited about it myself, and I'm hoping that you get excited. I just want to tell you that this is it, baby. We're going to take this to a whole different level. We want people to know that we are for real about what we're doing. I'm happy. I'm happy today. But we got to wait. We seem to be having a little problem with our switchboard, but it's getting there. So just bear with me, and we'll take this baby all the way home. I'm able to. I tell you, I'm able to. But we're getting there. Thank you. I think we're almost there. But I tell you, this is something that people have to get into and understand that we're fighting here in the city of Benton Harbor like no one have ever fought before. We're showing the people that you do not have to have a lot of money in order to win. What you have to have is manpower. And that's something that we're fighting for right now. We're fighting to get folks moving, taking them to a whole different level, showing them what we're capable of doing, and let's see what happens. Because I'm telling you, this is really, truly exciting. I'm almost there, so just bear with me for a little while longer if you can. I tell you this is always, it's always magic when we can do it like this, but we got to stay focused and don't get sidetracked. Because that's the number one thing that we're dealing with today. We're trying to make sure that we don't get sidetracked in what we're trying to accomplish today. And I tell you, we're in the city of Benton Harbor. We're doing the things that need to be done and making sure that you do the things that you need to do in order to protect your citizens there, your friends, your family, and your children. We're making sure that everybody take a stand against, if it's not right, please do not stand up for it. And anyway, I'm hoping that people can come on August the 10th to the demonstration. If they cannot come, we need to find a way to get down there to you, just to show people that we are capable of doing things. Yeah, we're almost there, so just bear with me, because in Benton Harbor, Michigan, on August the 10th, 2010, and we're going to stop Whirlpool and the Harbor Shore Greedy Corporations from stealing land from the residents of Benton Harbor. The opening of the golf course, Jack Nicklaus, oh yes, he will be there. Arnold Palmer, he will be there. Tom Watson, he will be there. And you will also have Johnny Miller. So I'm asking everybody to bring your golf clubs. Bring your golf clubs. If you can bring your golf clubs, we'll be right on point what we're trying to do here. And I tell you, I'm always excited to be on the radio today. I'm just trying to get it where everybody can get in here and do their thing. And I'm thinking I'm almost ready to roll. Thank you. And I think we're there. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you so much. Let me bring in my dear brother, Larry Pinckney. Are you there?
I'm here, Larry, my brother. It's good to hear your voice, my brother.
Hey, I can honestly say that we was having some kind of malfunction here in the system, as they say. Sometimes things like that happen. Larry, tell us a little bit about yourself before we go on.
Well, first, before I say anything about me, let me say something about you. You are a true freedom fighter. You've been fighting for a long time, not only for the people of Benton Harbor, Michigan, but for the people of this nation. And I just got to say that I'm honored to be a part of this struggle. My background, very simply stated, is that I'm a former section leader in the Black Panther Party, former Minister of Interior for the Republic of New Africa, the only quote-unquote American to have successfully self-authored my case, my civil, human, political rights case to the United Nations, and I still carry on the fight for all of us collectively, and of course, currently, and for some years, have been a columnist and editorial board member with the Black Commentator, www.blackcommentator.com. That's about it in a nutshell, my brother.
Well, I think that's a whole lot. I think that's enough for everybody to, you know, get an idea of exactly who you are. So why don't we bring on Mr. Story. Mr. Story, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm blessed, and I'm blessed to hear the Pinckney brothers. I'm so thankful, and I believe this is not by chance. I believe it's a divine appointment, and I believe we'll see it will manifest itself in due time.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I will tell you this, Mr. Story. We are going to reach out for you. We got folks all over who have heard your story now, and they all want to step in and see what they can do. But what I want to do, I'm going to try to connect everybody. The thing is, this is what they don't want. They don't want people to connect, you see, and that's the weapon they've been using against us for years. Because they figure if we fight with each other, we won't fight with them. Mr. Story, why don't you go into your story so we can hear all about you? You can start anywhere you want. You got plenty of time today.
Okay, thank you. And again, I want to commend both of you all for y'all's stand for freedom and justice. Look, last week, you know, I tried to convey the corruption and the difficulties that I have encountered after I blew the whistle concerning the death or murder of an inmate in the Shelby County Jail in 1995. Like I said, I was a sergeant when I informed a Memphis lawyer of the misconduct, gave him material evidence concerning this inmate's death. Now, anybody would tell you that the Shelby County Jail in Memphis, Tennessee, was deemed as the most dangerous or one of the most dangerous jail facilities in America. And it was often compared to the likes of Rikers Prison. At the time, my whistleblower, the United States Department of Justice, was already investigating violence inside the Shelby County Jail. Also, simultaneously at the same time, a lawsuit was filed against the Shelby County Jail for, you know, inmate brutality. It was a case already in the federal government by the name of Darius Little versus Shelby County. That case now was 96-25-20. The government filed the Little case in 1996, and the lawsuit concerned the inmates that I discovered dead. Lawsuit was filed also in 1996. You know, it was a large reported number of gangs, assault, rapes, assaults on jail staff that was mentioned in the Little suit. But, you know, they did not mention this inmate's death, Gregory's death. I didn't see how they could do that if they were investigating brutality within the jail. The government, the United States government, allowed the Shelby County attorney to selectively leave that murder case out of that investigation. Now, it was an expert witness that was at that Little trial that was investigating the violence inside the jail, wrote a statement concerning the Shelby County Jail. And I got that. I want to read a part of this. It said, prior to 2001, the Shelby County Jail had a 20-year history of abysmal leadership, mismanagement, nepotism, and cronyism, low hiring standards and poor personnel practices, lack of staff training and other resources, and a profound lack of concern, support, or accountability from both the sheriff's office and the rest of the Shelby County government. These factors produced an overcrowded jail that was dangerous for inmates and staff alike, a jail in which the living units were largely controlled by gangs, in which assaults, rapes, stabbing, escapes, suicide were relatively common. The jail was filthy and poor repair and unprofessional with inmates and with the staff, and there was a well-established pattern of excessive force. The jail had not been certified, so it was in turmoil back then. And so the court record revealed that another officer on that Gregory case, the one I talked to, revealed that another officer was reported to having sexual contact with this inmate that was dead, that died, this inmate named Gregory. This was a white officer. Well, I said color may not matter, but both officers involved were white. This guy reportedly, in this court papers, saying this guy actually was forcing this guy to perform sexual acts with him. And they want to keep all that quiet. Another issue concerning, you know, like when I got arrested, I had mentioned about this juvenile by name of, I didn't name his name, I am today, his name was Etienne Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were falsely accused with me. He was bound over from juvenile court to be tried as an adult.
Okay.
And for $500 worth of false marijuana, you know, a false marijuana claim.
It wasn't even real?
What I'm saying, the marijuana was real. I'm talking about the charges were false against him.
Okay.
And that's the amount of drug they say that he was supposed to have been handling for me, $500 worth.
So they were trying to say you was dealing and he was working for you.
He was working for me. They gave this young man a $15,000. Now, this was juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Shelby County official was so negligent of this inmate, this young man's right, that they totally ignored my constant outcry for, you know, concerning this injustice of the fact. See, he was never charged. I was never charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone showed that something was wrong. And I know this. The blood of this child is directly or indirectly on these corrupt officials in Memphis and Shelby County. Now, I'm a father. I was 43 at the time that they tried to place me with this young man.
Mm-hmm.
This man did not have a voice. And I, you know, it angers me. It angers me now when I talk about it because they short-circuit his life. And I'm crying to these people down here in vain and about this young man's right. I testified on behalf of the Memphis branch in NAACP in 1989 for the physical assault of inmates. I went to court and testified for the NAACP. I testify because I believe in justice, and I believe that when a person of my color get in position of authority, he's supposed to stand up for his people. And I stood up for my people through the NAACP, and they prevailed on that lawsuit. But when I went to the NAACP for support concerning the frame-up, the directors in Memphis, Ms. Johnny Turner and Madeline Taylor, got angry with me for asking for their support.
Is Madeline Taylor, is she the president now?
Yes, she is.
Matter of fact, I spoke with her about 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
About an issue. I don't mean to – let me
go ahead.
Put how I got connected with her. We had AutoZone here, which AutoZone home office is in Memphis, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And we was picking in them.
Uh-huh.
And what they did, they called her to try to neutralize me.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how I got connected with her. But they should have known that would not work with me. You know, I can't be bought and I won't be sold. But
well,
anyway,
I
just want to let you know how I got connected with her.
Well, I tell you something. Memphis got a bunch of people in places of authority that will not exert their authority for righteousness. Madeline Taylor and Jonathan and NAACP, they exploit the past, they exploit the name of Dr. King, but when it comes to helping people, they turn their back. You know, they just jump on the bandwagon when something, you know, is, to their advantage. For 15 years, I was a member of the America of Federal, State, and Municipal Employees. They turned their heads on the case. And like you alluded to earlier, the majority of our Memphis City Council and the Shelby County Commission are black.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no representation whatsoever. You're talking about despair. Now, when you see people that's supposed to understand your plight for justice and they turn their head on you, that's kind of disturbing.
You said a majority of the elected officials in the Memphis area are black. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes. The majority of them are black.
Mm. But that don't mean nothing.
Exactly.
When you said they're black, that don't mean nothing. Because usually, like you said before, or like I said before, anytime we get in any kind of authoritative position, we usually ride with the corporations or the administration or government for reason unknown, even though we know that they're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. May I just interject real quick? Let me just say that they may be black, my brother, but only biologically. You see,
mm-hmm.
black
yes,
is
yes.
more than a color. It's a state of consciousness. It's a state of mind. We fought for many years to stop being called colored Negro to attain the point of being called black. We weren't talking about color. We have every color in the rainbow. But
that's
we were
right.
talking about a state of mind, justice, consciousness.
Uh-huh.
This is what it's supposed to be about. But go ahead, my brother. Just wanted to quickly interject that.
Yes, sir. excuse me. Brother Reverend Peekton, when you said that about incarcerating you for quoting the Bible, that is very dramatic, and it's odd. And there's a lot of that going around, I believe, been around the country, but maybe I report it. But I know it's kind of odd that I know that I represented, witnessed, was supposed to have been a witness to a murder. Then put it in writing. I was the first person that discovered the guy before he died, took pictures, and both the defense and the prosecution excluded me from testifying. I don't see how they could get away with that.
Well, you know, one thing is something you benefited from. You lucky they didn't charge you with the murder.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, they could have easily framed you. All they do is say they saw, they can just lie. Had one of the deputies say they saw you and him in a fight.
Yeah.
You see, because remember this. They are very, see, y'all got to remember, government. Government is rotten and they're dirty. I'm going to tell you this real fast because I don't want to keep cutting into your story. But when I was in jail, they had about 15 cops came into my cell. I got it was about a 6x10. And they came in to beat me up. But the point was, I was so honorable that they couldn't even move. But my point is this. They could have easily planted drugs in my room.
Yes,
and what, how could I deny it?
That's
it's
right.
They word against man. And you know, and you yourself, you're a sheriff, you know that they will believe you before they believe an inmate.
That's
you're
right.
Born. I'm too excited about your story now. You're getting me all riled up.
Well, I know now this has been my foundation, that I know that the throne was established, you know, on righteousness. The throne for these individuals holding position of authority, they may not believe in the Lord, but their position that they hold is ordained by God. And they got a charge. They're supposed to stand up. I'm a citizen, although I'm disenfranchised right now, but I'm a citizen. And when we hear of an individual that is being denied justice, that's a denial of their justice also. And that's why I'm going to stand, I'm going to fight, as long as the Lord give me strength, I'm going to fight. Go ahead. I could very easily have my record expunged and be able to vote, but I don't want it expunged because I want it expunged by the court. And Judge Bernice Donald, she's the federal judge down here, and it's her position. And I would want if anybody could do anything, could let her know that she is being watched, because sometimes, like I said, we have officials that are black in color only.
Could I jump in there on that?
Yes, you can. Yes, sir.
This is Ralph Pointer. I was on with you last week, and I called Brother Larry to see if it would be okay with you to put you in contact with Earl Caldwell, the New York reporter who disagrees with what happened with the Martin Luther King slaying down there in Memphis. He was covering the story, and he was on the same block, and he had a different version of what happened, and they disparaged him and then didn't call him or have his statement added to the investigation. And being that you're talking about, you know, like when you mentioned that the federal government came there, but they didn't come there to get information, they came there to cover up information.
Exactly.
Now, the next step. Mr. Caldwell is a supporter of Barack Obama. And now we're talking about government not representing people, black not being black, and I myself describe myself as being a member of the non-self-governing nation of Africans born in the Americas. But that's for another time. Now, I would hope that you would want to be involved with Earl Caldwell, because he has made many complaints about the federal government not telling truth about what happened in the Martin Luther King slaying, and you were talking about the federal government not telling truth about the slayings in the Memphis, Tennessee jail, and I have not called Mr. Caldwell, and I'd like to hear it from you. Would you like to be involved with Mr. Caldwell, and it may be an opportunity here, being that he is a Mr. Obama supporter, and being that he did support Kagan because a friend of his, that's Kagan, the Supreme Court nominee by Mr. Obama, although many people complained, I don't want to get astray here, because a friend of Barack Obama's at Harvard said she was a good person, so therefore he had no complaint. So what do you think about working with Mr. Caldwell on your case?
Yes, I would love to do that, and I see the parallels so clearly, and I've been seeing them. The judge that railroaded me, they had my case, my trial, at night. At night. You hear me? Wasn't nobody in there. They wouldn't let nobody in there but me and my wife and family. At nighttime, I'm talking about, look, they read a guilty verdict on me at 9 o'clock at night in the Shelby County Criminal. Won't nobody believe that. But that's the truth. At 9 o'clock at night. And the same judge that allowed this miscarriage of justice, John P. Coden Jr., was one of the main judges that was in a debate with Judge Joe Brown about the ballistics concerning the rifle that assassinated Martin King, Dr. Martin Luther King. He also appointed a lawyer to represent another guy that was framed with me, and that attorney's name was Robbins.
And that what happened to that guy that was appointed? What happened to the guy that was with that they claimed that was with you?
Oh, all right. Now
was he found guilty or something?
No. The young guy. Now it was a number of blacks got it. In all, it was six of us.
Uh-huh.
And I'm the only one still fighting. Now the young guy, Ethan Harmon, he gets killed. He comes up murdered.
Whoa.
Yeah, he got murdered, and that's why I thought the Justice Department would come down here and investigate his murder. But it wasn't. They came all the way. They came all the way from Washington, D.C. on taxpayers' money to cover up a crime. I mean, they came down. The Justice Department is not going to get involved in no state local issue unless they getting ready to cut some heads. But it wasn't so. They came down here to maliciously cover up from Washington to Memphis, and that's how I know it's a connection.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Pinkney, you have made some connections, and I think that we have something to watch. Can you imagine a supporter, a radio announcer supporting Obama, what he can do or what we can expect him to do or what we can hope he will be able to do as a supporter of the Justice Department of Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel? We should have this case wrapped up in a week. Would you think so? And give us your thought on that.
I don't think this case is going to be wrapped up in a week. I think this is going to be a fight. This is going to be a real dog fight, and we are going to have to put on the gloves or either take them off. We got a choice. I think it's time that people start understanding anything you do, you're going to have to fight for. If you want anything in this world, you're going to have to fight to get it. And that goes from the top to the bottom. That goes for all of us. But we got to fight together. We got to stand together. Whatever Mr. Story situation might be, we have to be. It's got to be our situation too.
Yes,
it's got to be Larry's situation. It got to be Ralph's situation. It got to be Mr. Washington's situation. It got to be Mr. Story. We all have to come together and fight this thing together. We can't fight as individuals.
Yes,
and
sir.
We got
to
get.
I want all your listeners to listen in, because now you have all of the elements of a drama about to be unfolded before your ears on Reverend Pinckney's radio program. Can you imagine a New York City reporter who has supported Barack Obama, who was they refused to take his views on what happened in the Martin Luther King slaying, and now we have this other slaying, this miscarriage of justice. We are going to put these people together, and I'd like, if Reverend Pinckney says it is okay, I would like to invite Mr. Caldwell to be on the program, and I'll just sit and listen, you know, to see what's happening. I'd like to hear an exchange there.
Mr. Caldwell and Mr. Story on next week, because we only got about 5 more minutes for Mr. Story. Mr. Story, we are going to connect you with Mr. Caldwell, and we're going to see what we can do to help you. So we're going to, as a matter of fact, when we're helping you, we're helping ourselves too.
Exactly.
That's how I look at it. So look, why don't you continue with the story? Give us a little bit more information, because you got about 5 more minutes, and give it to us. Just tell us stuff you want us to know.
Well, this Washington-Memphis connection is very real. And like when the Justice Department came down here, I got some information that would blow a lot of people's mind, but I'm cautious to say everything right now.
As you should be. Uh-huh. As you should be, brother. Be cautious.
I don't think there's, you know, whatever they're going to do, they're going to do anyway. That's what I believe. I believe in doing what needs to be done, because we got too many people that's trying to be too cautious. That's why we don't get nothing done. I think somebody has to step out and say, hey, shoot your best shot. Mm-hmm. If you want to do something to me, bring it on. Because if we don't take a stand, and we most of the time, 99% of the people, especially us black folks, we will not take a stand for nothing. So it's time that, you know, like I said, it's time to take off the gloves. Let's not put them on.
The gloves are off. And I guarantee you, I got some information that the United States Department of Justice need to come down in Memphis and turn this Shelby County Sheriff's Department out, because it's so much corruption that have been allowed to go on by elected officials. And if just a little support can reveal all this corruption.
But here's one thing that you can do if you want to put some pressure on the NAACP down there. Miss Taylor know me, and if you tell her that I'm going to come down there and support you as a president of the NAACP, it might light a fire within her hand part to let her know that we're for real about what we're doing. But whatever needs to be done, we're going to take the time out. Myself, I got my brother Larry, we got Ralph. We're going to do all we can to help you. But what we got to do, we got to figure out how we're going to do it. We can't, you know, all this heckler and juckler and helter-skelter stuff, that stuff, we got to get ourselves organized.
Yes,
and that's
sir.
How we have to deal with that. But look, I got about another 60 seconds. I got to bring on my other guest, but I don't want you to hang up. I want you to hang on, because at the end you're going to be able to say a few words too. But let's do this. You got 1 minute. Say what you want to say real fast, and let's take it from there.
Well, Judge Bernice Dome, her number, of course, 901, that's a case worker number, 901-495-1238. My case is on administrative, was administratively closed, and I have already petitioned the court to open this case. I've asked her also to supply me counsel, and for some reason, she's stonewalling. Outside pressure can help so much.
Yeah.
So much. And so,
here's what I'll do for you.
Okay.
I'll write a letter to them. You just give me the information, let them know that we're watching them. And
yes,
even though
yes.
the NAACP there in Memphis may not, but you got an NAACP president who's willing to write them a letter and tell them a thing or two.
Yes.
And I'll do it in a nice, comfortable way, respectable
yes.
way. But they would know that they're being watched, and they will
yes.
be watched by somebody in the state of Michigan. So
yes.
that's
New
how
York.
I have with that.
Yes.
Yeah. But on that note, Mr. Story, I got
okay.
to move on, but I want
All
you to
right.
stay on. Mr. Washington, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Let me introduce you to my dear brother, Larry Pinckney. And the show is named after us, Pinckney to Pinckney to Pinckney. And we got Ralph Pointer there. His wife is Lynn Stewart, the famous attorney who was just sentenced to 10 years in prison. But on that note, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Minister Henry Washington. I live in Slidell, Louisiana, which is the parish of St. Tammany. I'm an ex-police officer, and I'm calling your show in reference to my son that was arrested and tried on bogus evidence for a murder.
Sorry.
Oh, wow. So you're an ex-police officer, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then we got the ex-sheriff on the line too. So we got some little what we call enforcement power here. So let's talk about tell us a little bit about the story so we know where we're going with it.
Okay, in 2007 was April 2007. That was a murder here in Slidell. There was quite a few illegal immigrants living in the trailer, and. There, one of them was murdered, and four people was arrested for that murder. And Glenn Carter, which is the co-defendant one, and Eric Cooper, co-defendant two, Grant Gatters, the co-defendant four, and my son, Jace Washington, co-defendant three. All the evidence shows that Jace had nothing to do with this crime. The initial police report says that was two. The witnesses that was in the trailer get a description of a short black male and a tall dark-skinned male. And that's the initial police report. No DNA from my son was found there, anything. 8 months later, when the defense attorney had a chance to question the two witnesses, two immigrants that was in the trailer, they stole a change from two to four. And the question was asked by one of the defense attorneys, did you see any tattoos? They responded, no, they did not. And my son is tall and light-skinned with an arm full of tattoos, and they said that they had short sleeves. That's how come they was able to tell that they was dark-skinned and male. So the co-defendant one, which is Carter, they broke him down. They put him in a cell for, I think, 16 hours or so, a small cell, and they broke him down. He admitted to it, and he implicated co-defendant two, which is Eric Cooper. So co-defendant one received a life sentence. Well, co-defendant two pleaded to manslaughter. He didn't want to go to trial for life, for second-degree murder for life, so he pleaded to manslaughter to implicate somebody else. Now, all his statements, he has about four different statements and each statement is represent what he was trying to do. Now, remember, now, co-defendant one implicated himself and co-defendant two in it. But co-defendant two put two other people in it. So my son went to trial last year in 2009 in October, and they tried their best to get him to plead to it. He said, I had nothing to do with it. I want my day in court. Even halfway through the trial, they tried to get him to say he was involved, and he would not say he was involved. He said, I had nothing to do with it. The problem with this parish and many other parishes is the DA is not proving these cases. Louisiana have a 10-2 majority ruling, which is it only takes 10 people on that jury to convict. The DA is not proving they get in making deals, sweet deals, to get people on the stand, on the oath, to lie, to get these deals, to implicate other people in crimes. That is a big problem. The Supreme Court is supposed to be ruling in October on that 10-2 ruling in Louisiana. Now, after my son went to case, we got all the discovery. We got all the court information. His mother and I went through it. We highlighted. We made copies. We highlighted the inconsistencies in statements. We highlighted everything, and we wrote a letter. We sent it out to President Obama, Department of Justice, FBI Civil Rights Division, the State Attorney General, and the governor. And my son was supposed to be, Jason Washington was supposed to have been sentenced in January. Well, the first district court put a stop to it and said they wanted more information on this case. So we've been fighting, and we've been getting more information. In March, co-defendant 2 wrote signed an affidavit stating that my son and co-defendant 4 didn't have nothing to do with it. And he wrote another letter stating that they didn't have nothing to do with it. But in the meantime, co-defendant 4 did not, which is Grant Gatter, did not want to go to trial. So he went on and pleaded guilty to the crime and received 8 years. But his story is different than co-defendant 2's story. So we finally, they took all my son's legal documents, which is a direct violation of his civil rights. They took all his legal paperwork, and we really feel to try to keep up from getting them letters, but he was able to mail us those letters in time. And we just went to court here about a month ago, and while the judge, we had him subpoenaed to court on them letters, and the judge wouldn't recognize, and they come up with a story that they were scared of my son, that's why they signed them. But the judge went on sentencing anyway, so it's at the appeal process now, getting ready for the appeal process. The problem here in St. Tammany Parish and many other parishes is they want the truth to be the lies and the lies to be the truth, and the DA is not proving these cases. And they basically took, they saved my son in fire shop, but they basically took the gun out of my house and put that gun in that murder. It was my gun, my service revolver.
Give me 1 minute, Ralph. Are they trying to match that? Are they saying that that gun was part of the murder? Were used in the murder?
They say he had it. See, the thing about when I left, that gun hadn't been cleaned in 7 years. And they couldn't say he fired it. So
That's beautiful.
What they did was say that he had a gun. But the problem is with the states is everything, the story has changed. Like I said, initially the police report say one thing, then you come back 8 months later with something totally different. They just totally disregarded the police initial report where there were just two people involved. That was to put two other people in there.
Amazing. Well, here's the plan. My goal is to come down there. We do our demonstration. Belinda has already asked me to come for several other cases down there. And what we got to do, we got to set up a plan how we're going to deal with this situation. And my understanding that there's a couple of lawyers down there that are willing to work with you.
Yes.
Is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay. So what we need to do, we need to set up a task, so we set up some kind of strategy. Because how much time did they give your son?
Well, the judge went on, gave him 25 years. But we, like I say, he was tried in October last year. We've been fighting. We've been writing letters and everything and getting information together to show that he's been alive. And they just totally ignoring that. And the thing is, they didn't think we was going to fight. They didn't think we had common sense to look at this and say, this doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense. Like I say, the young man, which is defendant two, he changed his statement four times to fit what he was trying to do. They knew this boy was on the stand on an oath line. So we got him back on the stand a month ago for him to lie again on an oath. So all this is documented.
Wow, that's amazing. And you know, and I know they pay people to come into the courtroom and lie. They've been doing the same stuff for years. And this is something where we have to take a stand. We have to start rallying the people. We have to make them understand they could be next. See, here's the thing. Most people don't think that they're going to be next. But this is a strong possibility that they can be next. But here's what we can do. We're going to use our rallying cry. Try to get people involved, because the more people get involved, the better chance he's going to have. So I know that for a fact, because I know they pay people to come and take the stand and lie, because they did it against me. They paid for, but they didn't even pay him a lot of money. They just paid him a little chump change to come in and lie and try to ruin your life if they can. But we will. We will do whatever we can to take this thing to another level.
That's the thing that really upsets me, is the fact that the one that's supposed to be upholding the law is the one that's breaking the law. They are breaking every, even though this is state charges, but they're breaking every civil right that is. Because his mother and I asked for a full investigation into the sheriff's department, the judges, and the DA's office. That letter we sent out for civil right violation, obstructing justice, holding information back from the jury, because that boy's statement, which is Carter, defendant one, his statement said that it was him and co-defendant two involved in it. The judge would not let the jury hear that statement.
You wouldn't happen to have a copy of that, do you?
I got a copy of everything. That's copy. We got copies everywhere.
Okay.
It's just, not just I have it. We got copies everywhere.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like, you know, you're ready to fight. So let's take this.
Oh, yeah, we're ready to fight. What makes me mad, and I'm mad at the preachers, is because Dr. King them fought the wall. We're losing the battle because we don't got comfortable in life. And it's frustrating, because here we are 50 years later, and we still dealing with injustice.
Yes.
In the courtroom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're 100% correct. But then we just have to take a stand. We got to push these ministers to a whole different level, because they've been sitting back, getting some of that faith-based money, and haven't been doing anything. Matter of fact, it's all over the country. It's here so bad. Here's something that I want to say real fast, and I want you to come back next week and tell us some more, because we're going to give you enough time so we can get you enough help. You see, all the ministers here knew that I quoted Deuteronomy 28, signed with the 15th verse. The judge said it was a threat on his life. And all the ministers here, not one of them stood up for me and said that was God's word. You know, that was not a threat on your life. That's a Bible scripture. Not one single minister, not one single minister stood up. So don't depend on these ministers to stand up and do what they're supposed to do. take it to a whole different level. And on that note, I'm going to bring in Libby. Hold on, please.
No,
I do.
Libby,
just,
are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I'm in another situation, unfortunately, where I can only stay on the phone for a couple of minutes, but it's really, really important to, again, get the word out about August 10th. And as many people as possible, we need to come to Benton Harbor, Michigan, to give our support. Well, it's a mass demonstration on August 10th, and it will be beginning at between 10 and 11 in the morning at Benton Harbor, Michigan City Hall, and that's 200 Wall Street. And we would love to have thousands of people attend this rally and march, which is supporting one of our country's most, shall I say, corporately abused communities. They have the corporation Whirlpool, which has stolen land from their city, plenty of it, which Whirlpool pays no taxes. The only business in Benton Harbor, and the richest, one of the richest in the world, pays no taxes to the city of Benton Harbor. Whirlpool uses Benton Harbor water, and plenty of it, and does not pay for it. And on the gigantic resort that they're building with a Jack Nicklaus signature golf course, 800 housing units, two major hotels, and, you know, whatever, they will hire no Benton Harbor residents, African Americans, to work at this resort, which much of it is in their own town. So I'm forgetting some of the stuff I wanted to say, but it's a mass demonstration. It'll be a rally, and then it'll be a march. And what am I forgetting here?
You just about said it all. We want to just so they be there August the 10th, and we need everybody's support. And bring your golf clubs. That's crucial. Bring your golf clubs.
Oh yeah, the golf clubs are to show the just a sign or an emblem of the clubbing that has been done to the residents and the land by Whirlpool.
That's good. That's excellent. And on that note,
I'm going to be there the 9th, the night before. I can be there bright and early, the 10th.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. And I'm going to say goodbye.
All right. Have a good night. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Bye-bye.
On that note, we got about 8 minutes. Larry, I want you. Why don't you cut in on us? Then we're gonna have Ralph. Then we're gonna have Mr. Story. Then we're gonna have Mr. Watson. Then I'll conclude it. Go ahead, Larry.
I think that the situations with respect specifically to Mr. Story and Mr. Washington's son and family, for that matter, are indicative of what's happening around this entire country. This is not just, you know, Memphis, Tennessee, or Louisiana. This is United States, and we need to fight united, black, white, brown, red, yellow. We need to come together and fight united. We need to, what is happening in Benton Harbor is just another symptom of a very major sickness, and the only cure for that sickness is for we, the people of all colors, to come together and to demand justice. Just because something is legal, just because something is the law, which, by the way, I know they're not adhering to, but even if it were legal, it does not mean it's just. Slavery was legal, but it was not just, okay? Women not being able to vote, that was legal, but it was not just. Now we have a situation in this country where we have laws that are not adhered to, and quite frankly, we need to be fighting for justice. I'm so glad to have both of the guests on, and I look forward to hearing more from them. And I want you both and your family to stay strong.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Ralph, go ahead.
Yeah, what is happening here is an advancement in that they are no longer able to hide behind the laws as they are written. They have to come right out and violate their own laws. And when they do that, it makes more people aware of how unjust, how illegal the government is. And as Mumia stated best, Mumia Abu-Jamal says, the system is broken. And every time they do one of these acts that it is so obvious, so down front, it's an opportunity for us to educate our people as to what must be done against them. And we see the silence of our so-called leaders in our so-called institutions, mainly religious institutions, legal institutions, educational institutions, penal institutions. We see that it is all breaking down, the mask is falling, and therefore it gives us opportunity to educate our people. And I just thank Reverend Pinckney and Larry that we are able to bring this out to people. And every time we bring one of these stories out, people have to say, how much more are they going to do before we stand up and make our institutions work for us? When you say the NAACP is black, well, what's that mean? Black is black does. The NAACP is as it does. We have to force them to do the right thing. We have to force it. I don't know. I don't want to be the kind of person who wrings their hands with glee when I see I'm going to put you in touch with a Barack Obama supporter, with a supporter of the Justice Department, to see what he can do forcing Mr. Obama and Mr. Emanuel to reinvestigate the death of Martin Luther King, to reinvestigate the death of the inmate in Memphis.
Yeah, I'll let it go. Go ahead. Yeah, we'll finish that. Go ahead in the story.
Yes, and I appreciate that, and that's what's on my mind is why have the United States Department of Justice strive so hard to work in concert with these corrupt officials in Memphis to cover up a murder and violate so many people's civil rights. The Shelby County officials here have blatantly crooked. And there's no telling what they have covered up in Martin Luther King case. I would like to say this in closing, that America do not, I mean the citizens do not owe Memphis any leniency concerning this matter. Dr. King was slain here, but we just found out what I'm saying about it's a crooked system. The Shelby County government has been crooked a long time. But everybody just don't have the evidence. The evidence is wide open now. They need to be dealt with.
Very right good. On. And anything we have, we got to make sure we document everything so we set up a paper trail. Go ahead, Mr. Washington.
Okay, in closing, what I'm looking for, I want Jim Lennon, I want the feds in here to investigate St. Thomas Parish 22nd Judicial System. You got a lot of people in jail shouldn't be in there, a lot
right
of people up in prison that should not be in there because of this crooked system. This is what I'm striving for. I'm striving for the truth to come out by my son because all the evidence that we're seeing says he's been lied on and he had nothing to do with the crime.
Good. And here's what I would do for both of y'all. If y'all send me an email with y'all's story, I'll start getting in the newspapers across the country for y'all. We'll start with the People Tribune, and we'll get articles in there, and we'll keep their names alive until they understand that, you know, that we're for real about what we're doing. But you're going to have to fight. I'm going to tell you this. You're going to have to fight like you've never fought before because I know what they'll do and what they won't do. So what we have to do, we have to fight together. Mr. Watson, Mr. Story, you got Ralph Pointer there, and you got my dear brother Larry, and I know for a fact that all of us together, if we start connecting, taking a stand, we can win these cases. The point is, we have people who will take a stand only for a little while.
Yes.
And if you take it all the way, take a stand, and you got if nobody else stand with you, your family should stand with you.
That's
Jay
right.
should stand
that's
with
right.
you. And if they stand with you, that's and then they're friends. The way I always do, I have my family, I have my friends, and I have their friends. But look, on that note, I want to make sure that y'all understand next week we're going to have Mr. Caldwell on here, and we're going to see can we get y'all both on there next week too. And see
right
can
on.
We continue.
All right.
Right on.
All right. On that
right
note,
on.
I think we are out of time.
See
God
you
bless
short.
Y'all. I tell you, time okay. really go by fast when you're having fun.
Okay. I'll be calling you on the phone.
Okay.
And hooking
okay,
this
make
up.
Make sure that you call him and set it up with Mr. Caldwell so we can
right,
talk
right.
the next show. And y'all get that story together with me so I can put it in the newspaper for y'all.
Okay.
Let me give you my email. Y'all
all right.
Let me give you my
you,
email.
You brothers stay strong. You got to fight the good fight, and that means, as Reverend Pinckney said, it really does mean. I didn't mention I was in prison for 10 years. I do understand.
Yeah.
And I know that you got to fight, and then fight some more until you win.
And you led that prisoner
Amen.
Almost as bad as Rikers. I was in Rikers.
Okay.
All right. Listen, let me give you my email so y'all can email me, too.
Okay.
All right. You have a pen or a pencil?
I'm ready. Right.
Okay, it's BANCO 9342 at
right.
SBC global.net. That's BANCO 9342 at SBC global.net.
Got that.
Okay,
got
so
it.
Let's get ready to rock and roll now. Let's show them what we made of. And I am coming down there. Probably after the demonstration, I will be down there. And what we want to do, but we want to have things laid out because I'll probably be only down there maybe a week at the most. So I want to make sure that you understand that we got to have everything in order so we can move.
Amen. Amen.
Okay?
That's correct.
All right. Then. Well, listen. I'm going to let y'all go, and I'll see y'all next week at the same time. I won't have any more guests on but you two.
Okay. God bless
all
you.
All right, then.
Thank
talk
you.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.